previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
How are you, Paul Conrad?
We've got jockeys on these horses that can't weigh more than 126 pounds. And I'm like, let's put some big guys on there, right?
So you believe this is flat-out discriminatory against big and tall jockeys?
Against tall and husky jockeys.
That's why Paul's new organization, SFJ, Support Fat Jockeys.
Fired up! Ain't gonna take it no more! Uh-oh! SFJ! USA! Fired up! Ain't gonna take it no more! We're all meeting at the McDonald's.
Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
We want it now!
720 WGN.
Good morning. It's 5:10 in the morning. Paul Conrad still recovering from yesterday's episode. Happy Tuesday. It's pouring rain here in the city of Chicago and throughout the outlying areas. Interesting commute in. A lot of rain.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun morning.
Sorry, Mayor. Get ready.
It's all right. And Tuesday morning's usually the busiest, so it's going to be
fun. Why is that?
I don't know. We talked about this before. I think it's just, you know, Monday, people take a three-day weekend. Tuesday, everybody really gets their head back in the grindstone. Wednesday, it's already hump day.
Tuesday is the day that they say, now correct me if I'm wrong, that you shouldn't, if you want to talk with your boss, if you want to ask for a raise, if you have some sort of issue or confrontation, Tuesday's not the day to do it. They always say you should try to do it on a Thursday or Friday.
I thought it was Monday is not the day to do it.
I don't think any day is probably the day to do it.
It's not a really good, yeah. I don't know which day I would go with. Maybe Thursday? Maybe?
I don't know.
People are a little happier because the weekends come in.
Everyone always seems to be happy on Friday, though. You know, everything.
Yeah, if people are
there.
Yeah, but then people take off.
Take off so they're not around.
Weekend. We'll have to analyze this. We'll go in depth. Best day to ask for a raise.
But certainly not a rainy Tuesday.
Definitely not. It's going to be a little bit messy out there today.
Does anybody get raises anymore?
Raise. What was
that? What is
that? We've heard of that. Anyway, we've got a big show planned for you today. Kid of the Week coming up. Hawktionary coming up after 7 o'clock. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan is going to be on the program with us as well today. We wanted to kick everything off with ABC's Jim Ryan, who has been following the story in Garland, Texas, that we've been talking about for the last couple of days, too. The shooting in front of the Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest that was going on. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. Yes, the search for clues still going on here and elsewhere in Arizona as well, where they're looking and talking with friends who knew one of the men, at least Elton Simpson, to discuss exactly what was going through his mind at the time that the planning for this went forward and eventually ended in this failed assault on this art display at a community center here in Garland, Texas. Claimed this morning from ISIS that somehow it was responsible, or that these two men were acting on behalf of them, calling them members of the caliphate, soldiers of the caliphate, and that more stuff like this is set to come.
Let's talk to a little bit about, you know, and we're all for free speech, you and me especially, but the organizer of this particular event, I know he was a Dutch politician, why would you even hold something like this and lay the groundwork? Not saying that something was going to happen, but it really just opens up such a strange can of worms.
Sure, and I think that was kind of the point. They were trying to be inflammatory, if you will, or controversial at least, kind of thumbing their noses at Islam, the Islamic organization certainly, and the same Caldwell Center where this happened the other night was the same place where in January there was a fundraiser to generate money for a center that would educate Muslims about how to counter negative perceptions of their religion. So I think that was exactly the point here. And whether it was intentional or not, I think it was kind of an attempt to draw out people like these two men, perhaps at least in a rhetorical way. I don't think anybody invited that sort of armed assault, but I think there was an attempt to get some kind of reaction.
Right, and now, is there any word, Jim, are they worried about any sort of copycat attacks? I know this is such a prominent an issue now, especially as you mentioned with ISIS now kind of coming to the forefront of this particular attack.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's always a concern, and people are working behind the scenes all the time, whether we know it or not, to try to check on internet chatter and infiltrate groups that would plan and carry out something like this. And so, sure, I'm sure that if not concerns or fears, there are theories about potential copycats like this that the FBI and ATF and everybody else are working on right now to ensure that they don't happen.
ABC's Jim Ryan. Be safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There he is, live from a Dallas-Fort Worth area. Jim Ryan covering the continued investigation. As he said, now that the suspects have been identified in this Garland shooting, Garland, Texas shooting, the FBI will continue to trace the movements of the two who opened fire outside of that facility in Garland. So we'll keep you updated on that. Steve's First Call coming up after 5:30 this morning. It's 5:15 now. Let's get a check of traffic and the messy, rainy roads. Here's Mary.
You know, you're playing to win every game, and we know that when you go into a game, you got to play the right way. You can make sure that we have to play better than we did last game, and last night we thought that was our best game we played in the playoffs, and I think we always feel we got to progress.
Hawks v. Wild tonight, going up into Minnesota, 2-0. love it. Again, I'm not being too confident. I'm just very happy, very excited that we're in a very good place.
Very good place.
Q thinks so.
He does.
He just told me.
Was that right?
Well, he told everybody, but he told me too.
Pretty much did. Look, they're in a great spot. It's going to be tough tonight to win up there. And the Blackhawks in these situations... It's a strange thing, but they have not done that well in Game 3 of series. I think they've lost something like their last 7 when they've been in this situation on the road.
Do you know why? Because it's a gimme.
Well,
because the Hawks think, you know what? We want to just give the other team a little something to hold on to.
So they're being generous.
Yeah, and then they'll dash their hopes in Game 4.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've asked Q about that. I've never heard that explanation.
That's what
he
told me.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't tell everybody else that part.
I do think there's a tendency when you get up 2-0 in a series to relax.
A little bit.
And so I think that they know they've played well these first two games, especially for about the last game and a half, and really well, and coming off their best game of the playoffs. Minnesota knows they need this game. Mm-hmm. They can't get down 0-3. They're going to be desperate. The crowd is crazed. The crowd's going to be as loud as the crowd was at the United Center here. So it should be a great game. And the Blackhawks have a lot of confidence right now, but I don't think Minnesota is necessarily going to be dissuaded by what's happened in the first two games.
How are the Minnesota fans? I mean, I know nobody beats the Blackhawks fans, but
well, they call that the state of hockey. Little. Self-aggrandizing, I suppose, but
better than the Tennessee fans.
Yeah, I mean they're
as far as their hockey knowledge,
they're very serious
support.
Hockey fans up there. I mean they live and breathe the sport. So this will be a tough crowd. The tickets up there have been. It's not like Nashville where you could find a ticket here and there. They're very tough to get, and it should be a great night. It's at least this game starts at 7:00.
I know.
So for those of us who get up at 3 in the morning, makes it a little bit easier.
I was playing in this golf league that I started playing in yesterday, and one of the ladies said, why are these 8:30 games? Can you change that? These 8:30, 8:45 starts, can you guys change that? I went, I don't think we have any say in that at all.
I don't think so.
We are right on that same page. But yeah, this would be a nice early game. We got to mention the Bulls, too.
Great win for the Bulls last night.
Great win for the Bulls, Cavs.
They came out, they really played well early in the game. They got a lead. They got some confidence going. They got up 13-2 in the game. They really controlled the Cavaliers most of the night. Now, the Cavs are without two key guys, mm-hmm. Kevin Love, and I think they realize how much they missed him, and J.R. Smith. Smith will be back for Game 3 here, but he's going to miss one more game. That makes it even, I think, more important for the Bulls to come out and try to grab two games in Cleveland tomorrow night when they have the chance. To go up 2-0 on the road, that would be huge.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great time right now.
And
Chicago
they play
sports.
At 6:00.
Another
so
early
great.
Game.
That was great last night. Yeah, that game was over. It was over early, and tomorrow's game also at 6.
That was great. Shut up, did you do the right thing?
First caller always wins. Looks like at you, Teddy. Good morning, Teddy.
Good morning.
What are you up to this morning, Teddy?
Not a thing.
Come on. What are you doing, Teddy? Be honest with us.
I walked the dog out in the rain.
Well, but better be a good dog.
It's a good what?
Now, how old is the dog?
14 years.
14?
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the breed?
American Staffordshire Terrier with alias Pit Bull.
Let's go live to Dave. Dave, have you ever had a pit bull?
I never have, no.
You know, who's big with the pit bull community is our friend Brian Bickle.
Yeah.
Brian Bickle and
foundation.
His wife. Yeah, Brian Bickle and his wife, Teddy, they rescue pit bulls.
They're wonderful.
Don't you think they have a marketing problem? Because American Staffordshire Terrier is the actual name. Pit bull's like a slang thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's start calling them what they are.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm glad he's a good dog. He or she?
He.
Glad he's a good dog. And I appreciate you listening. We have all sorts of prizes for you. Let's go live to Kevin now in the prize closet. Oh, never mind, Kevin. I'm in the prize closet with you. I have tickets for Lewis and Keeley at the Sahara. This is a terrific musical at the Royal George Theater. I also have Lou Malnati's Pizza. I got a Chevy Drive, Chicago.com, WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And you know what, Teddy, because I like you, let me see what's in my wallet this morning.
My Pillow.
Yes. Yeah, we have My Pillows, don't we?
Yeah, we got a My Pillow. We'll send Teddy a My Pillow.
Send her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she got a My Pillow. And who's your favorite president?
My favorite president.
Is it Abraham Lincoln?
He's pretty old. 150 years he's been dead.
I'm going to autograph this $5 bill and have Kevin put it in with your prizes. Now, this is illegal. You're not supposed to write on money. But I'm going to write, "Hi, Teddy," so you'll know it's for me.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm going to put my initials where you want them. Maybe.
Don't put it on his head. Put it on the right side.
Oh,
actually, so that's illegal.
Andrea, I'm half Greek.
Oh,
I don't think that's
awesome,
legal.
Teddy.
I don't think
half
you can be half Greek.
Half
Kevin, would you come get this fiver?
Chronia pola.
Chronia pola.
I think you two are just swearing at each other.
It means congratulations because she's a big winner.
Efkaristo. All
right.
Efkaristo, you're welcome.
All right, so hi, Teddy, and my initials are on the $5 bill. Don't call the feds, okay?
Okay.
He's wrote on
all
money.
Right, you hold on.
If she'd said Benjamin Franklin was her favorite president, even though he was never president, which you have sent her.
No, I mean, for complete honesty's sake, I got a couple of Andrew Jacksons in here. But I got to get gas, and I can't find my credit card.
Oh, there you go.
She should have said Teddy Roosevelt. She's Teddy.
Yeah, she is Teddy. Good point.
But Teddy's not on any money.
Well, he should be.
What do you mean you can't find your credit card? You're very complacent about that. I'd be very nervous if I couldn't find my credit card.
I would be, except for the fact that I know I had to order something online last night, and I decided to sit it next to the chair I was sitting in, and I'm 120% sure it's still sitting there.
You know, roll losses.
What if the house cleaners that you hired to come in every other day were to come in and take it?
All right, now I'm upset. You apparently know that my housekeepers steal things.
Yes.
Housekeepers. That's another thing to make my father roll over, that and the bottled water. Yes, let's go live to Kevin. Kevin, what do you have at this point?
I was just going to say, the afternoon host, Ro Khan.
Not familiar with him. Is he new?
Yeah, he's a great guy. New guy. Just broke into the business. He also had lost his credit card the other day, and Wendy found it on the air. It was underneath the board right there. So apparently all the hosts are losing their credit cards.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the difference between Ro and me. Ro's very bright, very intelligent man, but he's a dingbat. And since he's a dingbat, I wouldn't surprise me if he, you know, things are falling off him and he's leaving things regularly. So I'd be a little short on cash, a little short on money. Ro's rich. And just hang around, and Ro will drop either his wallet or his credit cards. And you know, you wouldn't expect you to give him back. That's the kind of giver he is.
By the way, Teddy Roosevelt is on the dime. Did we know this?
Well, I wouldn't want to cheap out and give her a dime.
No, don't give her a dime.
Wasn't Teddy Roosevelt on something crazy like the $5,000 bill or something that was never in circulation?
Who was on the $2?
Jefferson.
Okay. That was a weird bill.
I only know because I just popped it up on my screen, Mary.
Oh, I was going to say, boy, Andrea.
Part of Andrea's new money Jeopardy. She's trying to get syndicated.
Come on, give me a bill.
I have two $2 bills in my wallet right now. What are the odds of that?
Where'd you get $2 bills?
At the gas station. The guy gave me four $2 bills back.
Four $2 bills?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want them.
Oh.
They're awesome.
I carry a $2 bill constantly, always.
Yeah, my dad used to carry
what, like
out.
A good luck thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Dr. Sam, I told you about, you know, that we play golf all the time, the veterinarian you hear on the show.
Yeah.
Dr. Sam pays off all his golf bets in $2 bills.
That's cool.
I don't know where he got them all, but he's got a bunch of them. So, Teddy, none of this matters to you. You're a big winner. Enjoy your day, and congratulations. A big guest on the Letterman Show one last time last night. We'll get to that in a second on 720 WGN. Tonight on the Letterman program, Ross, you're the vice president of late night TV after that insurrection that we had on the show. Ross and I, when Ross was growing up in the summertime, like all summer long, I would make him stay up with me to watch late night TV. Because until I came back to do this morning show, when I was a drifter, a ne'er-do-well, going town to town, robbing banks for viewers.
Protesting from city to city.
I'd go to bed at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it's a good thing I didn't drink. So being up that late, you know, you want to have, a pal. And sure. So Ross, when you were probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny that you think this only happened over the summer.
Well, over the summer and, during the school year, but only occasionally.
Right.
Huh. It was late night. It was our late night thing. So last week, I like casually mentioned to Kevin, Kevin, I'll make you vice president in charge of late night. Because as far as I know, Kevin wasn't the vice president of anything.
Except free food.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, remind me, the food blog goes up today. Yes?
Yeah, correct. So we're going to set each day. It's going to be every Tuesday of the week. So we'll post a fresh one every Tuesday.
You want a fresh one? Every Tuesday, Kevin's food blog. So you can check it out today. I'll have a new one up later. So anyway, in late night tradition, I haphazardly made Kevin vice president of late night. And, you know, Ross read me the riot act.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, you know how much sleep I lost over the course of my life to hang out with you late night? Now I can't even be vice president of late night with your little made up titles on your show?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that pretty much how it went down?
Pretty much, yeah.
So I don't know if I officially mentioned this, but I have stripped Kevin of the title of vice president of late night. I ripped the patch off his shoulder. It was the patch of Paul Schaefer's head. And I've placed it upon you now. You are the new vice president of late night.
And I just want to be clear as my first public act of vice president of late night that I did not intend to have Kevin stripped of the role.
No, please. You stabbed him in the back the moment you could.
I was very hurt, Ross.
Yeah. All right, so as vice president of late night, who's on the show tonight? Letterman. Letterman's last 3 weeks of shows, 3 weeks in a day. Is it the last Wednesday of the month he's done? It's weird. It's on a Wednesday. I don't know why it's on a Wednesday.
The 22nd or something?
Oh, it's 22nd.
It's that one of those days, that middle of that week, yeah.
Oh, it's the 20th. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. So yep. He's only got like 12 shows left. 11 or 12. So anyway, who is on the Letterman show tonight?
Tonight he has Reese Witherspoon.
What's up with that movie?
It's probably going to be horrible. But it would be his last time he has to pretend like a guest on his show is not going to be in a horrible movie.
What do you think he asked her about the drunken "Do you know who I am" thing in Atlanta a couple years ago? Because I don't think he's asked her about that yet. She's been on a couple times.
You know, didn't she apologize though?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't.
It doesn't matter. It's his last time with her.
Where she said, I guess
"It's not like Dave and Reese Witherspoon are going to be hanging out in years to come." So Reese Witherspoon is on tonight. Who else?
Nathan Lane.
Oh, Nathan Lane's great. Uh-huh. So great.
And great with Letterman.
So great with
that
Letterman.
Birdcage. I love that movie.
Oh, funny! Oh. One of the funniest movies ever.
Still funny.
Nick should have talked about that in his overnight funniest movies. I never heard Birdcage.
That yeah, it's tremendous. Right, that scene, how do you feel? Bewildered?
Betrayed. How about those dolphins?
And then Mumford & Sons is the musical guest.
It's a band I don't get. I've never gotten Mumford & Sons. You like it, right?
Yeah.
I love Mumford & Sons.
See, I'm with Steve. I don't get them.
I absolutely love them.
There's a lot of bands
They're
I don't
cool.
get.
Very
I don't
cool.
get it. I don't get it.
Weren't you in a band called I Don't Get Mumford & Sons?
I was, yeah.
It's and all alternative music, Steve.
We played Mumford & Sons covers, but we quit halfway through.
Right.
So that's the David Letterman lineup tonight. And last night, Letterman's running all these AAA list guests through. Who did he have last night?
President Barack Obama.
For, I believe, the 8th time. Here's a clip.
I'll just say this. When I say the words, ladies and gentlemen, Barack Obama, President of the United States, and I look over, and it's you walking over here. I get a little, you know, kind of a thing.
The point being, it's usually a bit.
Right.
He's usually got John DeCoss coming out claiming he's Barack Obama.
Exactly.
Another clip from last night.
Many days when I wake up and I find out what I have to do during the day, there's a couple of things where I say, oh, God. Now,
are you saying that's how you felt this morning?
No. So when you are reminded that today is today, do you say to yourself, oh, God, today is the day I have to go see Letterman?
No. I'm excited about it. First of all, I know you like Michelle a little bit more than me.
Oh, my God.
Which is okay.
She was here last week.
I know. Which I assure you, you are not alone. But I'm not going to let her have all the fun. And mainly I came by to say goodbye to Biff and Paul. Who, let's face it, but they said I couldn't get on the set unless I also spoke to you.
Fair enough.
It's funny. I don't care who writes for him. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, and you have to have timing to deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
Obama also took a serious turn talking about the mess in Baltimore and, you know, the basic political discussion of the need and the way to fix things. Nothing's going to get solved on a late night with Dave when the president comes by, but one more.
Let me ask you another question. Is this the first country you've presidented?
It is, I suspect, the first and last country that I'm presidenting. Unlike late night talk show hosts, I am term limited.
Oh, wait a minute.
That would be odd, really, if the president of the United States went off and ran, Togo.
Right.
In the future. Retires to Florida and tells everybody, I'm president of Florida now.
Right. He's on at 9 p.m. It'd be this whole thing.
All right. Thank you, Ross, Vice President of Late Night. Once again, on behalf of the family, Kevin, I'd like to apologize for Ross stabbing you in the back.
That's okay. Yeah. I'm used to it by now.
It's 5:56. We're back after this and 720 WGN. Let's do the texter question for the day. Texter question always wins at the end of the show. 312-981-7200. Let's go with the worst Mother's Day gift you ever gave. Well, we're going to make an announcement on our Mother's Day show tomorrow. Here's why I forgot to ask my mom to be on it yesterday when I had lunch with her.
Maybe that could count as one of the worst.
Well, it's not really a gift. It's just a huge disappointment.
It is.
But I'm going to see if my mom will join us on Friday. I had dinner or lunch yesterday at a place, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Holland Hoods here in the tower.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
You know what their slogan is?
It's on the way to my car?
Yeah, it's on the way to my car.
On the way to Steve's car.
On the way to Steve's car. Food's good. Food's good. They have 47 pages of booze, so you can't get Dave out of there.
Great calamari.
They do have good calamari.
And kale salad.
Yeah, we say all this knowing they've never given us a free meal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I should own that restaurant, the amount of money I spend in there every week. Howell Hood and Steve.
We're so far from them. I mean, it's
the worst named restaurant ever. Howell's, Hood's, and Steve. Howell and Hood, I think, were the architects of the tower, right? Isn't that right?
Yeah, Howell's and Hood.
Yeah. I wasn't around them.
Yes, they were. Yeah, the architects of the Tribune Tower. Yeah. You know, since you just wrote on money, what you could do is on every menu, just write Howell's and Hood and Steve.
That's good.
And see if they notice.
Yeah.
See how long it takes them to notice.
See how long it takes me to get a table next time I do one. The worst Mother's Day gift you ever gave, that's the texter question today. You're an adult. You listen to talk radio. You listen to this show. It's Steve Cochran Show. If you're not familiar with it, go out and tell 10 friends today, even if it's raining, would it kill you? So that's the question. Worst Mother's Day gift I ever gave. And as always, if you don't have one, make it up. 312-981-7200. You make stuff up. I don't. All right, Mary, your favorite teacher of all time.
I will have to go with Mrs. Benson, my science teacher at St. Alexander School in Villa Park.
What grade?
She taught science for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Science, middle school.
Yes. And
I hated what made her a great teacher?
I hated science. She was very persevering, and she made me think that I was smarter than I thought.
Well, that's a great attribute.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing. Orion, your favorite teacher?
Well, in grade school, because I went to a one-room, eighth-grade country school, it was Del Timmerman, who was very good. And in high school, Mrs. Woods, my English teacher.
What are they up to now?
They've both passed.
No, I'm sure they have. Del's
not the grade either.
Del is a great name that nobody – you don't hear a guy's name Del anymore.
Well, it was Delbert, but, you know, we
That's
all
why.
Called him Del. Yeah.
Andrea, favorite teacher.
Oh, see, I just wrote a bunch down, and I'm trying to narrow it down.
I'll come back to you.
I'm just going to say them all real fast.
Go ahead.
All in one. Miss Irwin, Miss Nelson, Mrs. Noble, Mrs. Souter, Mrs. Rhodes, Miss Curran, Miss Woodhouse, Mrs. Palmer, Mrs. Mokel, and Mrs. Magnuson.
Jeez, is that every teacher in your whole school?
How much is that like Andrea? I can't pick just one. They might hear.
No, but they all influenced my life in many ways.
I'm sure they did. What is it, Ross, you've told me about Andrea before? She finds the best in any situation?
Yes. She sees the best, finds the best, all to avoid confrontation.
I don't want to eliminate anybody, you know, hard feelings. But Miss Irwin was my first grade.
Yes.
And Mrs. Magnuson was all the way through my senior year in high school.
Are you sure you named them all?
I've spanned. But I didn't leave anybody out.
Kevin, who's your favorite teacher? Now, Kevin, think about this. Now, you got to go all the way back to the middle 2000s.
Yes, I know. Very difficult.
Yeah, and his are probably still all alive.
Well, I would hope.
They're all still there.
I would hope, unless there's been an accident.
They're our age. Yeah, exactly.
Mrs. Jarling was my neighbor growing up. She's also my counselor. Not exactly a teacher, but she really helped me throughout high school.
Like Malcolm Head?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And Joe Pardon, who we had on the show. He's the head football coach at Hersey. He was one of my football coaches and a math teacher as well. So he was a great teacher.
Ross, how about you? I know most of your teachers.
Yeah, I mean, keeping with the counselor bandwagon, Spike Grosich is a listener. So you know he's smart.
He's a good guy, too.
Good guy. And he was a counselor and part of the program that meant a lot to me in high school, Naperville Operation Snowball.
He just retired, didn't he, a year or two ago?
Last year.
Yeah.
So he's enjoying retirement. And I had an English teacher, Michael Rossi, who I used to, when I was first trying to do stand-up, I would just write like thousands of jokes and like four of them were funny. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who had to sift through the thousand jokes to find the four that were funny so then I could learn how to tell them from you.
And be encouraging.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Is he still teaching?
Yes.
Well, I've lost touch with him. Dave, now you got to go way back, Dave. We're talking about into the 20s. Try to remember your high school years.
Not quite that far back.
Hey, he had a long route to school on the horse and buggy.
Yeah, he did.
Well, you already got to name your 10,000 teachers. Give me one second, will you?
Dave, favorite teacher?
Mrs. Rich, my fifth grade teacher, and Miss Cianelli, my eighth grade social studies teacher.
Growing up in D.C., right?
Yeah, and also Mrs. McCafferty, my kindergarten teacher. She was great.
Well, Mrs. McCafferty was implicated in the Kennedy shooting. I remember that.
This was before all of that.
All right, so why were they good teachers?
I just think a personal connection. I think they cared about the kids, and it came across to you.
You know, I forgot one, too. Mrs. Broadwell, she was my English teacher. AP English Advanced Placement. Yeah, I shouldn't have been in that class.
I was going to say that.
Which you know if you listen to this show. But she was great.
Isn't it funny, years later, have you run into your teachers and you say, oh, hi, Mrs. Souter, and
they say,
call me Carol?
No, I can't do that.
I can't do it either.
No, I can't do that. Absolutely not.
No.
All right, so we'd like to just congratulate all teachers today, and I would think, even though she's never going to teach me, Amy Cochran would be my new favorite teacher. Wouldn't you agree with that, Ross?
No question about it.
Yeah, see, you know how to make peace at family gatherings.
We was making our run. It was all about getting guys in the right spots. Reading how they were playing me, reading how they were playing everyone, with me being a point guard, and just trying to make it easy on everyone.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky, Cowboy. Sparky, Cowboy. Dog. What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo. Dog. Buttercup. Romeo. Buttercup.
Now, your Chevy dealer and ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
Bulls, if you're just waking up, Bulls beat the Cavs. Uh-oh. So there's only two ways to go with this, David Kaplan. One is that the Bulls beat the Cavs and they're off on a run that could lead to the championship. Or two is you made the King angry. You won't like LeBron when he's angry. Where do you fall on this?
I think the Bulls can win this series. Said it before the series started, Steve, that I thought I picked them to win it. Do I think they're going to win every game against the King? No, I don't. But I don't think Cleveland's that good. I really don't. Without Kevin Love and with J.R. Smith suspended for two games, I just don't think Cleveland's as good and as invincible as everyone else does. Now, LeBron's the best player in the game. There's no question about that. But if Tom Thibodeau will continue to use some of his depth and have a chance to establish an interior game and Derrick Rose plays, you know, reasonably well, I think the Bulls can win the title if they get by this series and I think they will get by this series.
You could end up with a Bulls-Clippers final. How about that?
You know, I stayed up and watched the Clippers last night, and no Chris Paul, out with the hamstring injury, 48 hours from, you know, the win over San Antonio, and everybody thought Houston's going to rock them without Chris Paul. And Houston early had a nice working margin. You thought, yeah, they're right. And boy, oh boy, were they good in the second half.
Pretty impressive. Dave, Bulls beat Cleveland?
Well, you have to think they will. I mean, based on the, I'll tell you, the thing that I wasn't so confident as Cap was going into the series. After watching the game last night, I feel pretty good about the Bulls' chances here. Because the thing that stands out, Cap, and I know that Smith will be back, but you look at the two rosters, and obviously you have the greatest player in the game for Cleveland. But the roster for the Cavaliers beyond that, compared to the Bulls' roster, which with all the depth that they have. I mean, they bring in Kirk Heinrich. Heinrich comes in, hits a big three for him. Taj Gibson. They just are a deeper team right now, and I think that that's going to be the really telling tale here over the course of this series.
What about tonight? Tonight, Minnesota. You've got Game 3. This is not something, as Dave pointed out earlier, Dave Kaplan, this is not something that the Hawks have done well. They don't stomp on them once you hold them down. You hold them down, you step on their neck. They're not great at that. So what do you think is going to happen tonight?
Well, look, Minnesota's a really good hockey team, very good goalie. I believe Minnesota will win tonight. It's a very tough place to play, a very tough place to win. Hawks have not had great success up there most recently. Hawks under Joel Quenneville, not great success in Game 3 road games. So if you win tonight, I think the series is over. Obviously take a stranglehold, and I'd be shocked if they were to, you know, give that lead up. But I do think Minnesota wins tonight.
Yeah, see, I've got the Hawks winning. I got the Hawks snapping out of this. I think Minnesota's bewildered. They're caught in a glass case of emotion. I think the goalie's got it in his head. So I think the Hawks win tonight.
Where is the glass case of emotion?
It's on the Wild's end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like to buy a glass case of emotion.
I'll make a deal for you. They're out at Apt.
Really? I'm going to call Steve Shapiro and see if I can get one.
That's the right call. You're on TV today.
I will be on TV with David Hoff, his plane lands in all this rain from Cleveland. We'll do that show 9 to 12. Then he gets on another plane, goes to Minnesota for the hockey game tonight.
A lot going on. And WGN Plus as well, starting at 9.
Absolutely right. Happy birthday to my brother, Bruce. Had to say that.
Hey, happy birthday. He's been very close to me. He's an eye doctor, we should say that. And one of the best. And, you know, I've never worn glasses. But when you do the eye test, roll up and right next to your face and blow in your eye and all that stuff. He's got kind of a freaky job. He makes your job look normal.
He does have a freaky job.
So, all right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Have a good day.
That's Cap at the Capman on Twitter. Back after this at Cochran Show on Twitter. You should follow me, not Dave. Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Sponsored by Ray and Raymond Chevrolet. Hey, before I get to the kids today, do you remember, it's probably a year ago, that I screwed up and I talked to a mom, but I never ended up talking to the Kid of the Week kid? And do you remember that? For some reason, it was later in the show. Remember we did the 9 o'clock hour then?
Oh, yeah, and you talked to the mom, right.
Mom and found out afterwards the kid was on hold the entire time.
Right.
And had stayed home from school.
But the mom was very proud.
Yeah, she's very nice about it. But I always felt like we should get that kid back on. Did they ever contact us?
Ross reached out to them. We're working on getting them back on. So.
Okay, so at some point.
Yes.
And we're getting a lot of response to last week we had Trisha on?
It was 2 weeks ago, I believe. And Trisha's going to be on, I think, sometime in the summer because she's a smart student and doesn't want to miss any class. So when summer comes, she'll come in studio for hang with us for an hour or so.
This is the kid that invented the app that could stop cyberbullying.
Yeah, she's working on building my new home, too, in the middle of writing her fifth book.
I don't doubt it at all.
That's true.
Our friends at Ray and Raymond Chevrolet, again, very generous, and they sponsor the Kid of the Week. Heritage Grove Middle School in March.
teacher talked to the classrooms about St. Baldrick's Day. St. Baldrick's Day is, well, let these guys explain it. Let me bring in Katie Sisto and Brenna Rule right now, starting with Katie. Good morning, Katie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. How old are you, Katie?
12.
Okay, and you've been friends with Brenna how long?
For this year and some of last.
Good, 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 good. Hold on a second. Wait till you hear what these two girls did. Hey, Brenna, what's up?
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
All right. Now, would you girls agree, because I know Andrea and Mary would, that a girl's hair is very important to her, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're right.
I can tell you that a boy's hair is very important to him until it leaves. but a girl's hair is very important. That's why, Andrea, listen, Brenna, Katie, at some point in your lives, mm-hmm. when you're paying for your own haircuts, at some point in your lives, you're going to have to break up with your hairdresser. And both Mary and Andrea have discussed this. This is an entire Oprah show.
I know.
You guys know who Oprah is?
No.
Yeah. Well, don't worry about it. There was an entire Oprah show about breaking up with your hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
And what a big deal that is to women.
Yeah.
Like when you have to go to a different one.
Even when you bring this up, it just pains
yeah.
me.
So for what you guys did, very courageous, very gutsy, even at your young age. So, Brenna, explain what you did.
Okay. So we were the only two girls in the whole school to shave our heads, fully shave our heads, not just a cut, but fully shave our heads for St. Baldrick.
And Katie, didn't you do this in front of a bunch of kids?
Yeah, we did this in front of the whole school.
That's unbelievable. That is very cool.
Did you girls have, and you girls had long hair too, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, the night the girls started to campaign for donations went by pretty quickly after they did the head shaving situation. By Friday, they had raised $1,200 combined. $1,200.
Yep.
And it's probably more than that now, right?
Yeah.
So, March 9th, I'm trying to do the math here. That's almost 2 months ago. So, how much hair do you have now?
About an inch.
You got an inch. So you got, like, the super short haircut.
Yeah.
Either one of you like it? Going to keep it?
Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Brenna, not so much for you?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to let it grow out, because next time I shave my head, it's going to be sometime in the future. But
yeah, and summer's coming, so it's a perfect time.
You notice next time she shaves.
Next time, I know.
Did your hair get donated? Was it long enough?
Yeah, they actually put in a ponytail, cut it off, and I was holding it the whole time, and I was so nervous.
Yeah, and did you get a chance to say goodbye to your hair?
Yes.
they knew. You have to do it. You have to say goodbye. It's part of your body.
It's the grieving process. And Brenna and Katie, that $1,200 that you raised goes for, to fight cancer, and it's a very cool thing that you did. I hope the kids were cool about it. Was everybody cool to you?
Yeah, everyone was just like, when we got our head shaved, some of the 7th grade girls started crying. So,
a few of our friends, a lot of people were cheering for us. Some people we didn't even know.
So the girls that were cheering, you understood, the girl that was crying, is it because she was crying for your hair? Or she was moved by the situation?
I don't know.
Or maybe a little bit of both.
Well, I'm proud of both of you and happy to say you're both kids of the week, and we have a bunch of prizes for you. And throughout your life, I hope you remember how good it felt to give back, because this is just the beginning for you guys. So give your parents a hug. You obviously have good families behind you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, you hold on. Nice girls,
nice
huh?
Nice kids.
That's a big deal, Dave. That's not a couple of idiot dudes up on stage going, yeah, shave my head, whatever.
No, it is a big deal.
It's a girl in middle school. Two girls in middle school shaving their heads in front of the whole school.
Right. And think about a middle school for girls is hard enough.
Oh, man.
So to just completely shave your head. But I'm glad she said everybody at school has been very cool to them.
Well, that's one of the things to give you faith in. Because, frankly, there's not much. But it's one of the things to give you faith in the next generation.
That's nice.
Is that, kids, I know there's cyberbullying, and I know there's jerky kids everywhere that come from jerky parents. But the fact is, kids don't label the way they did when Dave and I were in school, when you and Mary were in school.
It's very
and so
true.
On.
There's much more tolerance now, thank God.
Not perfect, but it's getting better. It's traffic for Mary at 6:46. Where are those trouble spots now?
tonight. Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks. Hawks in Minnesota. We interrupt this theme to go live to Dave Ennett outside of the studios of WCCO Minneapolis. Dave, how's the weather there?
Well, it's nice and sunny here this morning. Actually, a nice morning here in Minneapolis, about 22 degrees.
Now, as you know, I worked in Minneapolis for, I guess, 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5 years, 88 to 93. And love the Twin Cities. Great. Love it, love it, love it. It's beautiful. A great, great area. And if not for the fact that summer lasts 14 minutes, there would be 20 million people in that town. Because that's how good a place it is to live.
The land of 10,000 lakes.
It's actually 11,000 and change, but who's counting? Yeah. Mosquitoes that are like gangland mosquitoes, though. They actually have tiny bandanas and boomboxes from the 80s they fly with. But in the course of your travels, you also know a guy named Dave Lee, who is the big morning guy at WCCO there.
Right.
Kind of the WGN of Minneapolis.
Exactly. Dave's a good guy. He used to be the voice of Minnesota Golden Gopher football, and now he does what you do in the morning. But obviously nobody does it as well as you do, Steve. So.
No, actually, they all do. So Dave wanted to do a bet with us. And Dave Lee wanted to do a bet with us. We couldn't work out the timing to do the simulcast. You were good enough to jump on the phone for a couple of days. What was the bet?
Well, the bet was they wanted me, based on game one, we were going to send them Lou Malnati's pizzas, but they thought we needed to do something a little wackier. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't know why they wouldn't want that bet. But
they were going to send you Lutefisk. Is it Lutefisko or Lefse?
They're both bad.
Well, it's both. You do Lutefisk and Lefse, yes.
Yeah. Lefse's good, Lutefisk.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. That's our food. Don't knock it.
That's actually the slogan, too. Oh, for Lefse.
No, that Lutefisk.
Yeah. But anyway, they came up with an idea that we would, if the Blackhawks won, then they would do a video of Dave and one of his cohorts singing Chelsea Dagger.
And
right. And if the Wild won, I would do a video singing the Wild fight song, which I said they have a fight song.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not known, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. So anyway, thankfully, Friday night the Blackhawks won, so Dave Lee and one of his coworkers did the video singing Here Come the Hawks.
And they did it where?
They did it in front of the Mary Tyler Moore statue.
Oh, Hennepin Avenue, right downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one where Mary twirls and throws her,
hat. Beret up in the air.
Yeah, throws her hat in the air. All right, so this is Dave Lee and somebody else on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just play a clip of this, and then the video's up where, Kev?
Putting it up right now. We'll get it on at Cochran Show, Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show as well.
All right. So Twitter and Facebook. Here's a clip.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack. Yeah. We'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks.
That's just as awful as I expected it to be. Yeah. Were they riding a Zamboni? What were they
on? Sounds that way. They were sitting there next to the statue.
That's hilarious.
And Dave, by the way, is wearing Blackhawks. Actually, it's, I think, one of the Winter Classic sweaters.
Yeah, Dave's a pretty well-known guy. I'm sure there's people that walked by him and went, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Was the siren in the background intentional? Was that siren, like a shot at Chicago?
Minnesota. Hockey's, you know, hockey is a cold-weather sport, as you know. Minnesota is hockey. I mean, it's a big, 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 big deal. So I'm sure the police were picking Dave Lee up and taking him in.
Good
so, it's not Nashville with Crazy Carl and his pipe organ. So anyway, Dave Lee, a man of his word.
He kept his word. And
should we offer him double or nothing for game four? We're not going to do it today, but for game four, double or nothing?
I would rather we do it. If in fact, it were come down to game five, I'd rather the Blackhawks be at home.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just not sure that.
How about
I
a series bet?
Really,
you know, whoever wins, have him do something.
Well,
really
we'll lock
crazy.
It as simulcast, so you don't have to take this on your own.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's. I think we'll
have
try
them
that
on.
Tomorrow.
Okay. What time do you think we can do it, Kim?
For 7:50 tomorrow.
7:50. Okay.
Yep.
All right. It is 6:56. Before we take the break, Texter question of the day. Worst Mother's Day gift ever. Tomorrow we'll do the worst Mother's Day gift you ever got, Mom. Okay, but worst Mother's Day gift ever. Worst Mother's Day gift, a St. Louis Blues necktie from the 708. Mom wasn't a Blues fan. From the 630, a box of laundry detergent and a bottle of fabric softener so she could keep doing my laundry.
All right. That's mean.
From the 224, 2 years ago, I gave my mom a bear for Mother's Day. You know, it's weird. We haven't seen the dog in 2 years. It's not nice. It's funny. I don't understand this one. From the 262, my dad once gave my mom a bridge. The county was replacing an old bridge, and he bought it and gave it to her for Mother's Day. I mean, well, you like, got that. You could name a star after somebody. You know, you buy them a bridge.
Maybe it's maybe a small one.
Or a dental bridge.
No, it's not a dental bridge.
Well, it could be.
You know, some people put small bridges in their gardens. Maybe it was one of those.
No, I don't know.
I hope it wasn't over troubled water.
Look what you did there. Would that be romantic on some level? I bought you a bridge?
I think it's cute.
If it was like a Madison County cool bridge.
Okay.
You know.
Where do you get those? Bridges.com?
Madison County?
Yeah. Mm. And what would it be called? Mother's Bridge? What
do you call it? I don't know. From the 847, the worst gift our mother got on Mother's Day was horse manure for the flower garden from Kathy.
That's not great.
It's not great. No. And then there's this from the 331. My brother gave my mom a trip to the Caribbean, all paid, on a day he absolutely knew she couldn't go. He then took his sleazy girlfriend, who she hated, and that was his plan all along.
Oh, that's cruel.
That's nice. It's 6:57, 7 o'clock. Coming up, we'll get you news here. And then 7:10, we'll continue our push for Honor Flight. Lisa Madigan at 7:20, along with the Money Clip. Hawktionary next hour. And Brad Garrett, little Robbie Barone, all 6'7" of him next hour as well. He's got a new book out. This is 7:20 WGN. I want to do this in two parts. Mary Pettinato is standing by from Honor Flight and Honor Flight Chicago. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to get Mary Vandeveld in here because her dad took an honor flight and talk about that. But we also want to clear something up because yesterday when we talked about this initially, I understand the phone rang off the hook and a lot of people were asking what?
My dad is a Korean War veteran. When will you begin honoring Korean War veterans?
And you've been telling me that's on the drawing board or whatever, but it's just a matter of calendar math, right?
That's right. The World War II Memorial was the last memorial built, and the World War II veterans are the most senior veterans, so we're honoring them first.
Yeah, there's just no other way to do it. It doesn't mean that Korean War veterans aren't going to get their days, because they will, but we need to make the World War II effort urgent and urgent right now, as Mary has done. So, Mary, I'll ask you to bring it up again, but for people who know or love a Vietnam, or I should say Vietnam, that'll come someday too, a World War II vet. Or maybe he's just a grumpy guy down the street who doesn't want you to keep his to kick your ball in his yard. Whatever. Let them know there's space on the plane for them. And what do they need to do to get the application and get the information?
They can call us at 773-227-8387. Or they can go to honorflightchicago.org.
Honorflightchicago.org. All right, Mary, take care of the traffic. And then we want to hear about your dad when he took an honor flight. Mary, your dad was a World War II vet. Where did he serve?
In the Pacific, in the Army Air Corps.
The Army Air Corps, like my dad, before there was a name called Air Force.
Mm-hmm. He was a bombardier.
And if I remember the story right, when you, maybe it was your sister's, but when you brought up an honor flight to him, he didn't want to do it, right?
No, he, you know, for years I was talking to him and he really wasn't that interested and he really didn't talk about the war much. It was probably 4 years ago that he actually started talking about his flights as a bombardier. And, you know, when Mary was on so often and I was working here and I thought, he's got to do this. So one day I just printed out the application. I heard it, you know, honorflightchicago.org. I printed it out for him because I knew he didn't know how to do anything on the computer, you know.
Sure.
So I brought it to him and he goes, I think I'll fill it out. I said, great. Filled it out. The next day, he gave it to me, and I mailed it in, and he was on flight 2 years ago in April.
And it was one of the most gratifying experiences you could have as a family, right, to see your dad at that point in his life be able to do that?
It was extremely cool. My brother and I were both guardians. I was a guardian of two other men, and they were just the coolest guys, Bill and Charles. And anyway, my dad was with my brother, and everybody is assigned a vet, and you just learn so much from these guys and women. We had, I think, five women on that flight as well. just the coolest thing. I just can't. And, you know, I was just going through, we were talking about it yesterday, and, you know, my dad passed away 4 months ago today, actually. And I found some pictures that we had taken, and it was really cool. And I found a card that my dad thanked me for getting it started for him to go on this trip. And he just said, I have never had this much recognition as a vet ever in my life.
How about
than
that?
I get today.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, that should make you feel very good. Very good.
It was just the and the family. And that night, Mary will probably remember this. It was a major storm that night. There was a flood. It was terrible. And they did their darnest to get us back. And they got us back. And we were very late. But there were so many people there. And my whole family was there greeting my dad. And the grin on his face. And these guys were not tired. They were not tired. I was exhausted.
That's the thing, Mary Pettinato. You see this all the time. These guys, you've said it to me. They stand up straight. They're at attention practically as they walk off the plane. And years fall off, and they salute. And tomorrow, about 8 o'clock at night in the Midwest Airport baggage claim, you're going to assemble more, right?
That's right. Midway Airport baggage claim 1. We're expecting 3,000 to 4,000 people to come out and greet our 82 returning World War II heroes.
Well, Mary Vandeveld, I'm so glad you had that experience. And, you know, again, it doesn't cost these men, these families a dime. It's private contributions throughout the year to Honor Flight. It's money you can give today to Honor Flight. The scholarships these guys and these women on the planes, they're assigned people, guardians, people to watch over them.
Who are the absolute best, those volunteers, and they have them the entire way, as Mary knows, and you know, do not worry as a, you know, relative. They will be so well taken care of that they won't even miss you. They will have so much fun, and they'll be so well taken care of. And believe me, they can go to the bathroom 100 times if they want to.
And that's not just a proud daughter saying that. She experienced it. She was on the flight as well. And later in the week, we're going to talk to another vet that actually was on the flight who's one of my favorite guys that I run into occasionally and still kicking. I saw him on Saturday, Mary. I said, I hope I'm in your shape when I'm, you know, 2 or 3 years older than I am now. The guy's unbelievable.
Isn't he great?
You guys are fabulous. All right, so if people want to come out to Midway tomorrow night, what do they do?
They just show up. Just come to Midway. The plane lands at 8 o'clock, so they might want to come a little bit early. And there's a 50-piece brass band. There's bagpipers, and there's thousands of volunteer patriots that just want to come out and say thanks.
Well, thank you for the work. I know tomorrow's going to be a busy day, but we'll talk to you again on Thursday and on Friday because we're pushing for this now. We want to find every World War II vet and give every World War II vet a chance to get on these flights this summer. Well, there's time. And that literally means what it sounds like. Well, there's time. So, Mary, thank you for all the great work you do. Again, website and phone number?
HonorFlightChicago.org and call 773-227-8387. And please consider helping the veteran complete the application.
It's a great
They're
point.
They're not getting any younger. They need a little bit of help.
It's a great point. And, you know, it's one thing older folks are more than willing to admit. I don't know what's going on with these computers. Just give me a legal pad. So safe travels, Mary. We'll talk to you in a couple of days. That's Mary Pettinato. And Mary, thank you for sharing that story. And it's really great. Really great. So I'm so happy again that you had a chance to do that with your dad.
Oh, me too. What a great memory I'll have forever.
Attorney General Lisa Madigan joins us now on the phone. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I know you're well familiar with Honor Flight, but man, it's such a great organization. And we're really pushing it this week in particular to find all these old guys.
Yeah, I know a number of people who've gone, and I can just say that they've loved it. Their family members are just overwhelmed. It's really a wonderful opportunity. People should do everything they can, as you're doing, to find anybody who hasn't been on one and get them on one.
We, Andre, thanks, Andre. We came across a story that keeps coming up about these student loans and what amounts to student loan scams by the institutions that take your money to attend the institutions. The Attorney General's office is cracking down on it. And some of this is debt relief firms related. So how does it all tie together?
Well, here's what's happening, right? So you've got people who are getting out of school, and they've obviously taken out a lot in terms of their loans. They're struggling to pay off their loans, in part because it's either tough to find a job or They've taken out so much money and ended up with a degree that really isn't such a great degree. And so, again, they're struggling to find a job that's going to pay enough money to make those loan payments. And here's what's happened. You've got a bunch of these scam artists that have come into this void and are saying to people through ads, whether it's on the radio or TV or the internet, they can help you. They can get your loan payments reduced. They might even get your entire loan forgiven. And they're going to give you all this information for free. And as you know, there's nothing for free. So when you call them, they claim, oh, we need to sign you up right away. And in addition to saying that, they obviously get people to make a very large upfront payment. The smallest payments we're seeing are about $300 to $400. Usually they're in the range of $500 to $600, sometimes as much as $1,250. So people pay a lot of money. And oftentimes they are paying that money directly into a scam artist's pocket. They're not even going to provide you with any sort of help. So we're just seeing dozens and dozens of these complaints coming in on a weekly basis. And we filed 5 lawsuits yesterday in addition to 2 others that we filed last year. But I think the big thing I want to announce is that I'm putting in place a helpline so that instead of calling a scam artist, you can call me. Well, you can call my office. I'm probably not going to be answering the phones all day long. But give us a call. We have trained a group of counselors, people who were doing a lot of the assistance work for struggling homeowners who were also falling prey to these similar types of scams. And just give us a call. Get on our website, IllinoisAttorneyGeneral.gov. There's a great big icon right on the homepage that says student loan assistance. So there is free legitimate help available through the federal government, income-based repayment programs. Do not give scam artists your money. Only pay your money to pay down your loan. Do not pay it to some third party.
And there's no need to be embarrassed at all. I mean, we've all fallen victim to certain things. You know, unfortunately, they target people who are going to believe these scams, Lisa. But my question to you is, will these victims ever, do they ever have a chance of seeing their money back or even a portion of it?
We do sometimes get money back. These operators, because in large part we're dealing with this at the beginning of the problem, you know, I'm just the first attorney general to sue any of these operations. And so I think that there is some hope to get the money back. Sometimes we found that, you know, once somebody tries to get the money back, can't, calls us to complain, we call, they'll give those people the money back because they don't necessarily want to be sued. So there is a good chance that they might decide to settle some of these suits. So sometimes you get your money back, particularly if they're larger operations. And these are nationwide operations. I mean, we sued one that's based here in Chicago, but there's one out of Texas, Florida, California, Massachusetts. They're all over the country, and they're operating all over the country.
Well, and I would say that obviously getting your money back would be a primary goal, but if this has happened to you, your number one goal ought to be to shut these creeps down. And well, the only way it's going to happen is if you speak up about what happened to you.
That's true, and there's no reason to be embarrassed. We see these horrible situations every single day. I have to be honest, from time to time, we still see somebody coming to us who's falling for that Nigerian banking scam.
Sure.
So, truth be told, this is not a strange one. There are over 40 million Americans who hold over $1.2 trillion in outstanding student loan debt. It is right now the largest amount of unsecured debt in the country, even larger than credit card debt. It's the only type of debt that actually rose during the recession. So it's not a surprise. The job market is still unsteady. And some people, as we've talked about before, have gone to for-profit schools where they've ended up with kind of a lousy degree because it may not be fully accredited. So in terms of those folks, they're absolutely struggling in the job market. And we just see a lot of people who, when they're desperate, you're obviously going to turn to, if you hear that, wow, something's for free, I could get my, payments reduced, I get my loan completely forgiven, well, of course you're going to call. And the problem is, once you reach out to these con artists, they have a very compelling story. And, they're very, adept at manipulating your emotions and getting you to hand over a lot of money that you don't have to give to them.
You got
to
trust your inner voice, right? And if your inner voice says this may not be for real, walk away. Don't ever give your social security number online. Don't ever go to an ATM machine because somebody's threatening an IRS audit. I mean, none of that happens in the real world. They're all criminals.
That's absolutely right. But I would have to say, the inner voice that people have when they call these people is that, oh, thank God, there's someone who's going to help me.
Don't trust that one. Trust the other one.
I'm just saying, people should not feel, as if they were the ones who made the mistake.
Right.
And they got conned. These are
professional con artists. They are making, I am sure, millions of dollars a year off of these scams.
You trust somebody and they lie to you, anything in life. It's not a reflection on you. It's a reflection on them. That's it.
I agree.
And when's the helpline going to be up?
It started up yesterday. Okay, I can give you guys the number.
800-455-2456.
You're better than I am.
I felt you reaching for it. 800-455-2456. And by the way, no one's ever going to say I'm better than you. All right, thanks. Hold the line. That's Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General. 729 back after this with a big story on 720 WGN.
And now, another edition of Hawktionary with Dave Ennett.
Long shot, Jefferson, they score! Jonathan Toews! A redirect in front of the net! And the Blackhawks have tied the game!
Today's entry.
An amazing redirect.
Redirect.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you.
And you can see Dave Lee in the WCCO morning duo from Minneapolis singing this song. There are losers in the bet with Dave Ennett representing this show. They'll actually be on with us tomorrow as we try to extend their pain or give them some false hope tonight. We'll see. Well, you and I both agree Hawks will win tonight.
I think they'll win tonight.
Andre, Hawks win tonight?
Absolutely.
Mary, Hawks win tonight?
You bet.
Orion, Hawks win tonight?
Yes, they do.
Kevin, Hawks win tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Ross, Hawks win tonight?
We're unanimous. Is this the first time we've ever all agreed?
On anything.
I almost feel like I should go the other way now.
That's
you
Kaplan.
You probably should. Oh, yeah.
He already did.
All right, today's term is?
It is redirect. This was an email request. A listener has heard Pat Foley refer to a redirect and asked what that means. And simply to redirect, and you heard Foley, I think that description there was Toews' goal in Nashville, where he had a nice redirect for a game-tying goal. It simply means to change the direction of a shot or a pass. It's pretty common that a player in front of the net will be able to redirect or deflect a shot into the net with his stick. Doesn't take a whole lot of contact to redirect. In fact, just a bit of a deflection is all that's needed, as opposed to a player actually blocking his own teammate's pass. Or a player could be to either side of the goaltender and redirect a pass or a shot past the goalie, maybe just one timing a shot, that kind of thing. One thing to remember, the puck can be redirected in, but a player in front of the net has to make sure the stick is below the crossbar. What if it's not, Steve? What do
if
we
the
call
sticks,
that?
Well, then you've got a high-sticking situation and a goal that's disallowed.
That's exactly right. But that is redirect. That's our Hawktionary term today.
And it's sponsored by Freshwave, the official de-stinkifier of America.
Or the official deodorizer of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, yours is probably better. Time for traffic. Ding, ding, ding. Time for traffic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Before we get to Brad Garrett not showing up for his interview, let's get to Kevin's dad's birthday today.
Yes, happy birthday, Pops. It's his 61st birthday today. I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow. He gets back in town after being on the road for work the past 6 weeks or so. So I'm excited to see him tomorrow. Happy birthday. Also, happy birthday to one of my good friend's dad, Mr. Leahy, also one of my old football coaches, Coach Leahy. Happy birthday to him, too.
You have any birthdays you want to throw out, Andre?
No, but happy birthday to Kevin's dad. Actually, yeah. We had a Coach Leahy at our school, too.
Kevin's got a great family. Have you met Kevin's family?
Yeah, his family's awesome.
Very lucky.
Kevin, is your mom's going to be here Friday?
Yeah, she's looking forward to
it. We haven't announced that yet. We haven't announced it yet because Steve forgot to ask his mother yesterday at lunch, remember?
That's right.
So I was going to announce the
big
Mother's Day show tomorrow, where all the moms come in for the show, and then Dave doesn't have a mom. Well, he's got a mom, but she's passed away. So we're going to ask my mom to be his honorary mom, like she was last year.
Stop talking about it then.
But we haven't talked about it yet because I forgot to ask my mom yesterday at lunch.
Got it. Happy birthday, Kevin's dad and Coach Leahy. Happy birthday to the coach,
and
too.
My brother's birthday was yesterday. I forgot to say happy birthday to him.
Happy
Mary's
birthday,
Bobby.
It's great.
You know, my mom's birthday was last October, and I wanted to say happy birthday
you
to her.
You did that day, I remember.
And I did not. No, I didn't, because she reminded me.
Yeah. A lot of May birthdays.
I can't remember who might be next.
Spike Odell.
A ton in my family.
And?
John McDonough,
sure.
Jonathan Toews.
Is he a May birthday?
No, Toews was last week with Cutler and my brother on April 29th.
Andrea doesn't care. She just likes mentioning Jonathan Toews.
Yeah. Patrick Sharp.
Adele. It's her birthday today.
Where is Adele? Is she still in hiding?
She had that baby, and then she just kind of kaput. I think she's only 27.
She's spending time with her family.
She needs to come out and sing. Come on, Adele.
Well, she had the problem with the vocal cords, too.
Pardon the transition here, but prayers to B.B. King and B.B. King's family. He is or is not in hospice care. Frankly, we don't know. This appears to be unfortunate, in quotes, Ernie Banklick situation because his caretaker is refusing to let the family and friends see B.B. B.B. King was said to have $5 million in the bank last year. Last week when he had a minor heart attack, she refused to take him to the hospital. He also has major dental problems, and she says that they don't have enough money to take him to the dentist.
Come on.
This is
B.B. King?
Laverne Tony is her name. Willie Nelson, Carlos Santana, Eric Clapton, among those who have tried to see B.B. King and have not been allowed to do that. So the family is now, unfortunately, got to go to court and try to get access to their dad. And obviously one of the all-time greats, B.B. King. A couple more celebrity notes before we move on. We plan on talking with Brad Garrett, Robbie, little 6'5", 6'7" Robbie from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
And I don't know Brad Garrett, and I like him. I liked him on Everybody Loves Raymond. Dave and I were talking off the air. Is Jackie Gleason? He was phenomenal. Even though I think Jackie Gleason was about 5'7". I don't think Jackie Gleason was very tall.
Oh, is that right?
No, he's taller than that, but you know what I'm saying. But Brad Garrett's book is out. It's called When the Balls Drop, How I Learned to Get Real and Embrace Life Second Half. Kevin, do you know what that means, that title?
Yeah,
no,
I do.
No, you don't. Now, I've not read the book because the publisher just sent it to us yesterday. So you might be saying, Steve, I thought you had a rule if somebody no-shows on an interview that you're not going to plug whatever they want to plug. Because if they don't have enough respect to show up for the interview, why would you give them a plug? And especially in this case, somebody I don't know. Here's why. Probably the funniest group of slugs on a book cover I've ever seen. Slugs, the endorsements for the book. Here's a couple of them. Nathan Lane. I can't read that first sentence, but I'll go to this one. No, I can't read the second sentence either. Look at the title, Nathan Lane writes. But not unlike most of its dates, Brad has forced them on us. So before this winds up in the Costco reminder bin, be the first and only on your block to buy a copy of this crap. He's just a sex tape and an appearance on Dancing with the Stars away from his career comeback.
Oh, wow.
Jason Alexander, remember from Seinfeld?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I don't know Brad Garrett. I've never worked with him. Frankly, I'm not a fan. I will say one thing about Garrett. He attracts small women. I don't like it because that's my sugar.
Those are very funny.
We're going to have Brad Garrett now? All right, you tell me when.
Oh, that's good.
Well, it's on the book. I mean, you're not saying anything that's out of context.
Brad Garrett from Ray Romano. Dear Brad, I just read the book. If you were this funny on the show, we could have done another year. Seriously, everyone should buy Brad's book. It's a win-win. You'll relate, you'll laugh, and if he does well as a writer, he'll give up on television. And Kevin Nealon, little does Brad Garrett know, he never had the problem on the book's title. He had none to begin with. This is not a midlife memoir. This is a life support memoir. Do us a favor, Brad. Pull the plug. Those are fabulous friends. Now, I've only got a couple of minutes here with Brad Garrett. But, Brad, I was going to read the entire book because I didn't know that we would actually get you back here. But congratulations on the book being out.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I'm sorry about the time issue. Did I screw you up?
Yeah, but don't worry about it because we can get through this quickly, and we'll do it again down the road too. The book's called "When the Balls Drop: How I Learned to Get Real and Embrace Life Second Half." You know, you're not just Robbie Barone, so at least understand that we were talking about how brilliant you were as Jackie Gleason. We love that.
Thank you. That's very kind. As Ray called that, Jackie, the NBA years. Busting my chops every time he gets.
How's the club at the MGM Grand? I don't know if people know. Most people probably don't know that you own a comedy club.
Yeah, the club is doing great. I'm there 1 week a month, and it goes 7 nights a week with different comics from all over the country. And, you know, it's a labor of love. It's family run. My brother manages it along with my godson, and it's at the MGM Grand. We're just having a ball out there.
I love stories of first gigs, and you actually got a picture, great picture in here as well. Tell everybody where your first gig was as a stand-up. I think you were like 16, maybe?
Oh, yeah. That was at the Turkey Farm. Is that that one?
Yeah, the Turkey Farm.
Yeah, my old name, Brad Gerstenfeld. The name was so big on the marquee, it actually says Brad Gerstenfeld, open for lunch. And, I don't know if you've ever been open for lunch, but it hurts.
Now, the Turkey Farm, who shows up for that gig?
Family, people you owe money to. There was a band that was on named Monkey Vomit. That's true. There was a band. It was like a little type of amateur hour, and it was me and a band and a ventriloquist all went head-to-head to win $75.
And yet, it even got better.
It
got better from there. Now, where's the Vegas connection come from? Because you were doing Vegas stuff a long time ago.
Yeah, I started in Vegas in 1986. I just started opening for all their big headliners out there. And it just became like a second home for me. You know, for comics, Vegas is probably one of the best audiences in the world. And I've had a long-time relationship with the MGM. And I always wanted to have a comedy club that kind of paid comics back for all the shit rooms we play on the road. Excuse me. Sorry.
That's all right.
And
all those shucks rooms you played. Got it.
Exactly. So we just built this great little tiny theater, seats about 250. And it's a great room for comics, and that's how as far as that Vegas connection. But it's a place that it's really just, you know, I just love working, I've worked the strip for a long time, so now I'm in the basement of the MGM.
I once did a gig in St. Louis at a place called Moonlighting in the 80s when the show was big,
right?
And it was a deli by day. And like a 12-table comedy club at night, and it was snowing. And, Brad, you know this story. You show up, and there was a table of four people there.
Yep.
So I go to the guy that runs the place. I go, well, there's only four people here. He goes, yeah, I know. Do the show.
Oh, yeah.
So I sat at the table. I had dinner with them and made them laugh.
That's hysterical. There was a place like that in the Valley in Los Angeles that was a deli, and they did the same. But I've worked to four. I worked to three once, and I walked every one of them.
Wow, good for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you betcha.
People are in for an evening.
You bet they are.
Now, in the book, you'll also hear Frank Sinatra, who for some reason for a long time thought your name was Greg Barrett. You get, and I couldn't agree with you more on this, you get the Brad Garrett view on tattoos and grown-ups, and you get a guy who's been there, done that, seen it, and really is relaxed and as cool with his life as ever. So let's do a second one of these where we can get into it a little more.
Okay.
So we'll... Meaning we're out of time, so we'll set it up.
Oh, well, I've never been bumped off like that before.
Well, I didn't have the band to play you out.
I would love to. I mean, it's great talking to you.
All right, man. Hold on. Brad Garrett, When the Balls Drop, How I Learned to Get Real and Embrace Life's Second Half.
He's so funny. I love him. He's great. He's so funny.
All right. What does that mean? I'm Brad Gerstenfeld.
And your observation about Jackie Gleason's height, I guess, was right on.
How about it? Right there,
yeah,
right?
You nailed it.
Quick break. Back with the news next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
The legend, Dean Richards. Bleary-eyed from the James Beard Awards last night?
I am. I'm bleary-eyed hanging out with chefs and restaurateurs and cookbook authors. Crazy culinary night last night.
Is there a whole backstage sort of vibe with those folks as well? Were there groupies? Was there sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
You know, there were groupies.
Sex, drugs, and spatulas?
You'd be surprised what you could do with a good whisk.
Who was the most difficult to deal with? Please name names, and we're taking notes.
Yeah, you know, they were. I got to say that the culinary A-list, much easier and nicer to deal with than the Hollywood A-list.
I'm not surprised by that, but I'm guessing Bobby Flay didn't show up?
I did not see a Bobby Flay.
How about his ex-wife-to-be? She's pretty happy right now.
They're a lovely couple. That would have been great to have both of them on the red carpet at the same time.
Now, the red carpet was actually white, and they spilled tomato sauce. Is that right? Stop it already.
You got a million of them today.
Oh,
no,
please.
Seriously.
I saw Rahm Emanuel there, which is interesting because, you know, he hates people. And to see the mayor out in public, I thought was interesting.
The mayor was there, and you got to give the mayor some credit.
Absolutely, for getting it in for, what, three straight years?
Three straight years, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's a big deal. For 24 years, the James Beard Awards, the Oscars of the culinary world, have been given out in New York City. And for the next 3 years, they're going to be here in Chicago. By all accounts, it was very successful night. I'd like every chef that you see on TV was there, except Bobby Flay. I did not see him, but all the big chefs were there. Of course, all the Chicago chefs were all there. Four Chicago establishments got awards last night. The Violet House in Wicker Park got the James Beard Award for the best bar service.
Nice.
That's always good to know.
Dave predicted that.
Yeah, Dave is the prognosticator with all that.
Mm-hmm.
The award for Best Restaurateur of the Year went to Donnie Medea, who runs Blackbird, Avec, The Publican, and some other restaurants as well. So that was a very prestigious honor. Brindle won Outstanding Design. And Let Us Entertain You, founder Rich Melman, was given a Lifetime Achievement Award last night. And speaking of the mayor, he was there, and he was there, and also some of the chefs. Got a little cut here of the mayor talking about bringing this to Chicago, and then Tony Montuano from Spiaggia and Mindy Siegel from Mindy's Hot Chocolate, a couple of the best restaurateurs in Chicago, also talking about the night.
What do you think this means to Chicago? I mean, between this and the NFL draft, we've had a pretty good week here.
I call it from football to food. Our culinary artists are some of the premier artists of the world. And now everybody knows that.
What is his guilty pleasure food?
Potato chips.
Really?
Yeah, potato chips.
What kind of chips are your favorites?
I think the Cape Cod, and, you know, because we try to be a little healthy, the 40% less fat.
<There you go. laughs>
Right.
I'm so curious, as one of Chicago's top restaurateurs, what did you eat right before you came here today?
Did you know that I had nothing?
At all today?
I had a smoothie and a drink. So I'm going to be drunk tonight.
You getting a little sense of what the Beard Awards are? That was Mindy Siegel from Mindy's Hot Chocolate.
Well, how can you not like Mindy?
Yeah, you got to love Mindy. And Tony Montuano and his wife Kathy were before that. Potato
Did Tony
chips.
Montuano at any point say hello to my little friend and shoot anyone?
He did not. Oh. He did not, and okay. I'm very offended by that.
Yeah, I can tell by the way you're laughing.
Let me just say, before the emails come in, how completely offended.
Steve Cochran at WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, save your emails, because I'm offended for all of us on that.
Text your hate in at 312-981-7200.
You know that that TV show, Simply Ming? You ever watch that?
It's a real shock. I know that I haven't watched it.
I even hate to throw another ethnicity at you at this point, because anything could happen.
Right.
He's one of the best known Asian chefs in the world.
I love Asian food.
And he gave me, I asked him.
I love the Asian people.
What would you do if you had to cook something with Velveeta? And he came up with a ramen noodle Velveeta recipe on the spot.
I bet he's good.
Yeah, so
I bet he's good. Any surprises? And you know, or was it just a pleasant evening?
I hoped that more Chicago places. We had a restaurant named Parachute. It's a kind of an upscale Korean fusion place that was nominated for Best New Restaurant of the Year. Very prestigious honor. Unfortunately, it did not win. New York restaurants really kind of dominated last night, and you know. Yeah.
Kudos to you for getting the exclusive interview with Rahm Emanuel, who refused to talk to us for, you know, the last year.
He was on the red carpet. I'm a big guy. He couldn't get by
me.
Yeah,
I suppose. So, were you talking to him about chips, or was that...
That was Tony Montuano.
That was Tony. Say hello to my little friend. all right, let's take a break, come back, and we'll talk about Letterman and Obama last night and some other show business stuff in just a moment with the legendary Dean Richards on 720 WGN.
Live from downtown Chicago.
I have to say, WGN's always been like comfort food.
It's the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Mother's Day, big show Friday. We'll tell you about that tomorrow. And you just have a few more minutes now to get in your final text on terrible Mother's Day gifts that you gave your mom that you feel bad about. Or maybe your creepy brothers and sisters did it, or your dopey dad. Bad Mother's Day gifts that mom never should have gotten. That's what we're looking for the texters, 312-981-7200. I hold in my hands the brochure for Saturday night. MCs of the evening, Steve Cochran, Andrea Darlis, at the annual NAMI benefit. And what does NAMI stand for? A very important organization headed in part by Angela Adkins. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Explain what NAMI is.
NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and we provide support, education, and advocacy for individuals and families who are experiencing and suffering and living with mental illness. We're an affiliate of the national organization, of which nationwide there are around 1,100 affiliates.
You can't walk it off. You can't snap out of it. You can't go to sleep because you'll feel better tomorrow. Depression is clinical. It's an imbalance in the brain. It's not your fault. There are there's almost an endless array of ways to treat it and to take care of it. And a lot of those involve the support of friends and loved ones. But organizations like NAMI make a huge difference. So what's your day-to-day activities?
Our day-to-day activities are weekly support groups throughout DuPage County for individuals and then for their families, parent support groups for parents that have teenagers who are trying to navigate through the school system. We do educational classes. Our signature 12-week family-to-family class literally changes lives and pulls families back that have been really experiencing separation and chaos and brings them back together again with a better understanding of what mental illness really is. Actually, moving forward, we're going to be expanding our services quite considerably with a brand new state-of-the-art facility here in Wheaton, although that facility will serve the entire county and beyond. And in that facility, we'll be able to offer housing, resources, employment tracks, recreation, and it's really essential for a good recovery to have people to communicate with, to help people live more independently, and to provide those really important resources. And this is a very unique partnership, in fact, with the DuPage County Health Department, which is a government entity, and us as a private entity. So rather than crying out about the cuts, and they are severe, we decided a couple of years ago to really do something about it and be proactive. And as a result, we will be moving into this new facility at the end of this year.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Very exciting. Hold on one second. I've got a couple of more questions and remind people about Saturday night. It's black tie optional. You want me to wear a tux?
I think you should.
Just the tie?
No, the whole thing.
Okay.
With the tails, too.
Tails and
the
hat?
Top hat, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a hot look for me. A top hat that would fit me would, that'd be rather large.
That would be magic.
That'd
pull
be
a
amazing.
Rabbit out of that one.
30th anniversary for NAMI, and the big party on Saturday night will be where, Angela?
It will be at the Marriott in Naperville, which is a newly refurbished hotel, and there'll be about 350 people in attendance.
It's right, Naper and 88, right? Right off the highway.
That's absolutely right, yes.
Yeah. What will Andrea and I be doing to not screw up the evening and actually help?
Well, you will not screw up the evening. You will be emceeing for us, and you will. We also have some live auction items that you will be auctioning off for us,
okay.
As well as our brick campaign, which is enabling people to buy a brick in the new courtyard in the new facility to be a part of history of this organization and of the county.
You and I met, and Andre, you ran on a meeting as well, so you know how passionate the issue is for me. And having lost a couple of friends to suicide, it was related to mental illness and things of that nature, is incredibly painful. And it's one of those, if I knew then what I know now sort of things. But that's the whole point. We know more every day. But the one thing we know conclusively is we need to treat mental illness with the same sort of severity, if you will, that we treat heart disease, that we treat cancer, that we treat all other diseases that we've taken so seriously. And until we do that, it's going to be very tough to make the changes we need. And frankly, it's just the right thing to do.
Absolutely. Hopefully one day mental health will be screened in the same way that you have an annual screening for any other health issues. And we're getting closer to that every year, but we've got a long way to go.
Any tickets available for Saturday still?
There are some tickets available, and you can go onto our website at www.narmidupage.org, or you can call the office at 630-752-0066, and our staff will be delighted to help you.
NAMIDupage.org. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And yes, if you're wondering, that is a Wheaton accent.
Yeah.
So
I love her accent.
8:50, Bill and Wendy at 9. This is 720 WGN. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo actually translated means, yeah, it's not that big a deal in Mexico, but you guys have fun.
The mariachi.
Cinco de Mayo, a lot of people think, is the celebration of Mexican Independence Day. In fact, that's wrong. Mexican Independence Day, I believe, is in September. It may be August. But Cinco de Mayo celebrates a victory of about 2,000 underarmed Mexican troops against the French when the French were about to occupy Mexico.
Yes.
It was a point of pride.
You're right. Mexican Independence Day is Wednesday, September 16th.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo is what... Exactly what you just said.
Yeah, the Battle of Puebla.
Puebla.
Yeah. So, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't go out and have yourself a margarita. Kevin, it doesn't sound like you've spoken much Spanish.
No, I have not. I always thought Cinco de Mayo stood for Kevin's dad's birthday.
Because
it's my dad's birthday on May 5th.
Right.
So yeah. That's news to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me teach you some Spanish. Repeat after me. Eva!
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 Andale!
Andale!
Andale! Epa, epa, hija! I don't know what it means either. It's just Speedy Gonzalez used to say it a lot.
That's not good. A good indicator of
it's not
Spanish.
No. That's not off the Rosetta Stone tapes?
It might be. I don't know.
8:55, your final Mom's Bad Mother's Day gift text coming up next, 720 WGN. Tomorrow on the program, let's roll out a bunch of B.B. King bump music. In honor of B.B. King, and just to continue to hope that he turns a corner here and he's got one last lap in him. All right, so a bunch of texts. Hi, Bill and Wendy, by the way.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
A bunch of texts about terrible Mother's Day gifts. You ever get a really horrible Mother's Day gift since you had kids?
No.
They're all cute and delightful?
Yeah, they really are.
Jim probably got you some crap, didn't he?
Oh, Jim gets me crap all the time.
What's the worst gift Jim gave you?
You said yesterday that most of the Mother's Day gifts that you've received, you've purchased them for yourself.
Yeah, it just makes it easier. Jim got me a headlamp, like a Spelunkers thing.
Like Quake used to wear.
Some sort of minor games you're playing in the house,
no,
or what?
But I thought
find
it was,
the ore.
I thought it was the worst.
Tonight, I'll be the wagon.
I laughed at him. Why would you get me that? And I use it all the time.
Okay. So it's not so crappy.
To work on, you know, ceiling,
your car.
Ceiling fans, making you, jewelry.
You remember that Norman Rockwell painting where Mom was opening up the Spelunkers helmet with the
totally,
light on it?
Totally.
It's a beautiful picture.
Absolutely.
Picking up after the dog, it comes in handy.
From the 312. 2 years ago, I took my mother out to a Chinese buffet, gave her indigestion, not happy. 815. Worst gift I gave Mom on Mother's Day was a card. I was about 10, picked out the best card in the flowery sentiments. It was a sympathy card for someone who had just died.
Oops.
847, gave my mother wrinkle cream that they advertise on WGN. She's mad. 312, my sister gave my mom a car accident for Mother's Day. She wrecked her car on Lakeshore Drive and broke her foot. Nothing says Mother's Day like the emergency room. 847, I gave my mom a Costco-sized bottle of Midol because she was really crabby.
Ah,
that's sweet. 708, I stole money from my single mother of three's purse, went to the drugstore, bought Fannie Mae with the stolen money, ate half the box of candy, and then gave the rest to Mom. She acted surprised and happy. You know why?
Why?
Because moms do that.
Oh, yeah.
And then she called the police. From the 309, I got my mom a dinner with Steve Cochran, but when I invited him, he didn't show up. See, that's the thing. Invite
oh.
me. Invite me. I won't show up, but I like to be invited.
Oh.
From the 312, I gave, gave her a jar of shaving cream. A terrible thing. You don't even have a mother, 312. From the 630, when I was 10 or 11, my dad and I ran out to Tops. This was a store like a Kmart. I saw a bathroom scale for sale and convinced Dad to be a really good last-minute choice.
Whoops.
Mm-mm.
Not so much. Let's see. Sleazy girlfriend we covered earlier. We covered that. We didn't cover these. My husband gave me Beano and Gas-X. I mean my ex-husband. We gave Grandma some molded chocolate that looked like buttholes. Somebody thought butt chocolate would be funny.
That's not funny.
The full-size bridge call we got earlier turns out to actually be a full-size bridge, and it's still sitting on the side of their driveway. It's like a 50-foot bridge span that brought home.
It's a bridge, a legit bridge.
It's great to get a terrible gift and then be reminded how terrible the gift is every day when you leave the house.
Sure.
And the last two are vacuum cleaner bags and a Waterpik tooth cleaning system. Happy Mother's Day.
Wow, those are all nice.
Really are sweet. What are you guys doing today?
In honor of Cinco de Mayo, the entire show will be in Spanish.
Oh, that's great.
Hola, Esteban.
Hola to you.
Hola, Estela.
Cerveza fría. That's about all I know.
Yeah. I know some dirty stuff.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'll write it up for you.
All right.
Please do.
Yeah. And Cinco de Mayo, that's the big focus today.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
And you're full-blooded Mexican.
What? Yes. What you just said. CC.
See you tomorrow.
CC me on that, by the way.
I'll CC you on that.